We love you, Candy. We really do. You mean a lot to everybody here. And I think it's something we all go through from time to time. But thank God for His Word. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for what He thinks of us. Amen? And we believe. We believe what He says. Perfect song. I don't know how I'll preach after that. I better change my message. No, I think I have the right message for today. And it's so wonderful to be able to open a Bible and have God minister to you, meet every need. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. This is a text about the prophet Elijah. And in chapter 18, he had a good day, a real good day with the Lord. He shows up, there's a famine, there's no water. And it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. And he asked the nation of Israel, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. But if Baal be God, then serve him. And they didn't answer a word. And so there was this contest about calling fire down from heaven. And the prophets of Baal tried, and they couldn't do it. And the prophet Elijah did. And the fire came down and licked up the altar and the water on the altar and everything. And because of seeing that miracle, the children of Israel said, the Lord, He is the God. He's the God, and we're going to follow and we're going to serve Him. A little later in chapter 18, Elijah kills 450 prophets of Baal. They're just destroyed. And now it's going to rain, and so the rain comes. And just, it's quite a story in chapter 18. It's great victory. I was preaching in Indiana not long ago, and a preacher got up before me and preached on chapter 18 about how we ought to be like Elijah and be able to pray, and, you know, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, James chapter 5. And then I got up and I preached chapter 19. This is Elijah having a bad day. Probably you don't understand what I'm talking about. All your days are good. You never have bad days or trials or get discouraged, but we're going to look at that today. But God has an answer. The psalmist said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I'd fly away and be at rest. And we have that picture, that physical picture, but I believe the Lord's talking about that heavenly dove, the Holy Spirit, and how He brings us rest. But let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. You know, a lot of our prayers are personal. And there are a lot of prayers recorded in the scriptures, and that's a blessing. Hide me, keep me, help me, strengthen me, guide me. All of these me prayers, you know. God, I need some help. God is called in the Bible a rock and a fortress. The righteous runneth into it, and they are safe. It's a good hiding place. He's called a door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll be able to come and go, and he'll be blessed. He'll find salvation. He's called a shield, a shelter, a high tower. We sing songs about it. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. So there is a place of quiet rest, another song. There is a place, a hiding place that we can go when everything seems against us, where we do need help, where we do need strength, and that God answers that prayer. We're going to look at chapter 19. We'll read quite a bit of the chapter. But this is right after this great miracle that Elijah is a part of. The fire falls down from heaven and consumes this altar, and the prophets of Baal are destroyed, and the whole nation is turned back to God. You would think Elijah would gain a great strength from that. But let's read chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel, oh, by the way, don't ever name your daughter Jezebel. That would be the wrong name for a little girl. Amen. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He had just had such a powerful victory, and now he's running for his life. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? He's in a cave. That's his hiding place. That's his place of safety. And good question to ask him. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. All these big productions, you know, God wasn't in any of them. And after the fire, a still small voice. Isn't that a blessing? It doesn't have to be the circumstance. It can just be the word of the Lord. And it says, and it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go and return. Later in the chapter, God says, I still have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. There's 7,000 just like you. And so he hears this voice. Now he takes the mantle. He is ready to go. He is ready to get back into the work of the Lord. And the last part of that chapter, he goes by, and there's a younger man, Elisha by name. This is Elijah we're speaking about. And he casts his mantle on Elisha, and Elisha is going to be the new prophet when Elijah passes off the scene. It's quite a story. There's a lot there. I want to get to the points that I'm going to make, but if you're up for it, I can preach till 1, 2 o'clock. Amen? Yeah, I thought so. Okay, so I'm lying again, but we'll see what the Lord has for us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you. We love your word. We love the Spirit that makes this word come alive. And I pray that you would meet every need. Thank you so much for the song, for its meaning. And we're all needy here today, Lord. We acknowledge that. We humbly acknowledge that. And we pray we would feel your Spirit and that you would minister to each of us, that we might honor you and serve you with our lives. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great, great, great story. Elijah said, it is enough. It is enough. I just want to die. It is enough. I don't know if you've ever been there. We're not talking suicide. We're talking, I just want my life over. I'm just tired of the battle. I'm tired of the fight. And what a phrase that is. It can be used in a positive way. It's enough. It's good, you know. But it can be used in a negative way. And I think that's how he is using that here. I remember my great-grandfather telling me about a show that was on TV, a cartoon, Popeye. I never heard of it. Have you ever? Are you old enough to go way back there? But anyway, Popeye said, it's all I can stands, I can't stands no more. Remember that? And sometimes we get there. That's like the straw that broke the camel's back. And Popeye had his can of spinach. So every time he said that, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, he would open the can of spinach, throw the whole can down, and man, he was ready to go again. We don't have a can. We got something a lot better than a can of spinach. Amen? It's not something physical. It's not something circumstantial. Elijah was really discouraged. And, you know, enough can be used in a positive way. Remember back, I think it's Exodus 36, I think, where they were collecting goods and finances and supplies to make the tabernacle. And they had to say, it's enough. We got too much. Stop bringing it. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Amen? Well, let's take an offering for the new building today. And here's a line out the front door, right? And after we're halfway through the line, the need's met. And the people in the back of the line are going, yes. No, they're not doing that. They're saying, oh, I didn't get to have a part in that. Amen? That's just a little side thing there. But anyway, it can be a positive and it can be a negative thing. For Elijah, it was a negative. And he was really, really hurting. His faith was very weak at that time. Thank God, God didn't answer his prayer because there were more miracles to come. And sometimes we want God to answer a prayer a certain way. Thank God he doesn't answer that prayer the way we want him to. There's another side of enough once we get past the trial, once we get past the discouragement, once we get past all of the failure. I'm going to read a couple portions of Scripture. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul. He had a very difficult life, but accomplished much for the Lord. He said, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. And he goes on and on. And then he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. All of the things he went through, and you say, boy, that's enough. I don't know if I can take any more. On the other side of that, he made many rich. Not physically rich, materially rich, but rich with the grace of God. And his life and his ministry was used in such a great way. We have in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul again. He says, unless, verse 7, I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. One verse. I don't want to be exalted above measure, so God gave me a thorn in the flesh, so I wouldn't be exalted above measure. But now Paul is praying for God to take away this thorn. But God gave it to him to keep him humble. Amen? And so the next verse says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. One more verse. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so here's something that God did for Paul. Paul didn't see the profit in it, so he prayed that God would take it away, but God didn't take it away. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because God has something on the other side of it's enough. And it's a blessing to us, and it's a blessing to all the people that we come in contact with. I think that's such a blessing. Mark chapter 14, this is our Lord. He is in the garden. He's getting ready to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And he said, verse 36, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, the cup of suffering, the cup of separation from God, the cup of judgment. And then he said, nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. Paul said, take away the thorn. Jesus said, take away the cup. God didn't answer either one of those in the affirmative. He allowed those to stay. We are blessed today because our Savior drank of that cup. Amen? And suffered and died for our sins. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame. He went to the cross. He paid the penalty for us. But that seems to be the prayer of mankind, doesn't it? I mean, here's a trial, here's an affliction. One of the first things we do is, Lord, take this away. Lord, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. But there's another side. Once we get past that, and God helps us to get past that, that we might be a blessing to people. Take this suffering, this trial, this burden, this reproach, this rejection. I just can't take it anymore. We've all been there. We've all been there. Thank God that he hasn't answered all of our prayers. Well, maybe he has answered all of our prayers, but just in his way. Amen? You have in the Bible a number of stories. You have the prodigal in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Remember, he takes all his inheritance. He goes to a far country. He wastes all his money on riotous living. He ends up in a hog pen. There's nothing to eat. And he comes to himself. What a blessing. That's a blessing when people come to themselves. And it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough? I don't have anything, but they have bread enough. And it's a key part of that verse, and to spare. It wasn't only sufficient, it was beyond sufficient. And that was in his father's house. And he says, I perish with hunger. We get the physical picture of that, but there's a spiritual picture of that too. God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They were hungry for the things of God, peace, love, comfort, amen, joy, all of those wonderful gifts, grace that God can give that aren't out here. They're in here. And so that is the picture. God has bread enough and to spare. God has grace enough and to spare. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Unto him that's able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Amen? Who wouldn't want that? The riches of his grace. That's what we want. We don't want to just change everything out here. If God brought something into our life, and then we don't see the profit in it, that's natural. A lot of things we don't see the profit in. But when God won't answer that prayer, maybe he has something for you on the other side. Amen? We can be a blessing to others. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15 and 16. There are three things that are never satisfied. You say, a three-year-old, a four-year-old, a five-year-old. Two and a half. Yeah. There are three things. The Bible is so up to date. Amen? There are three things that are never satisfied, yet, yea, four things say not, it is enough. What are they? The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. They're constantly wanting more. I have a fifth. It's not in the Bible, but I think the principle is in the Bible, and it's the discontented person. Never enough. Absolutely never enough for the discontented person. Exodus chapter 9, this is right in the middle of all the plagues that are coming on Egypt and on Pharaoh, because God wants the nation of Israel to be let go that they might serve him, but Pharaoh wants them all there as slaves, and so he doesn't want to let them go. Moses is the deliverer. He's come. He says, God says, let my people go. Exodus chapter 5, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And so the plagues start to come. There are 10 plagues in all. We're right in the middle of this. And this is what Pharaoh says. This is right after a plague of boils. It says, this is Pharaoh speaking to Moses, entreat the Lord, pray to God for me, for it is enough. It's enough. He's broken me. He's humbled me. He's caused me to give in, to surrender. For it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. So there's a new plague, and it's the plague of hail. They just went through the plague of boils. Now this plague he says, has broken me. It's enough. But once the plague was taken away, he hardened his heart again. Now another plague has to come. And the plagues only temporarily broke him. And he said, it is enough. Sometimes God works in our life, and maybe it's a chastisement. Maybe it's a difficulty. That is never designed to hurt or harm us. That is designed to allow us to see where the safe place is, where we can go back to God and be blessed by God and be happy and joyful in the Lord. I remember when I was younger, a couple years ago, and no, I was just a young boy, and we slept out a lot. We come from a broken home, and we had a lot of liberty, too much. And we were sleeping out. We decided to steal a car. And so we were pushing a car, and back in those days, people didn't lock their cars, you know. Anyway, we're pushing this car, and we're trying to jump start it, and there's no key. We see the movies, you know. Well, you just jump start the car, you know. And so we're pushing this car, and we're right on Belmont Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio. It's a busy thoroughfare. It's a gas station that was off to the side. And somebody reported us to the police. Here come the police. We're running through the woods. I mean, my legs look like a sacrifice. We're running through thorn bushes, you know, and everything. And I got separated from my brother and a couple other guys. And I ran. There was a where they sell plants and everything? Nursery. And it's called Paradise Gardens. It might still be there. But behind it was a swamp. And I've told this story a number of times, but I ran. There's nowhere to go but in the swamp. So I run in the swamp. And I'm sloshing through this swamp. And all the creatures in the... There were alligators in that swamp, you know? I had to kill an alligator, Peggy. And yeah, and anyway, I'm in that swamp, and I'm ducking down, and my legs are bleeding. I'm out of breath. I'm scared. I mean, really, really scared. And above the cattails is a spotlight. It's going back and forth. It's the police. And I'm hardly breathing, you know? And they left, and I think I stayed there two more hours. At least it seemed like that. And while I was there, they're trying to trick me. You know, they're going to turn the light off. I'll come out. They'll take me to prison for the rest of my life. And so finally, I made the long walk back to where we were sleeping out. But while I was in that swamp, I'm making all kinds of promises to God. I mean, I am so sorry. I want to be good, and made all these promises. And when it was all over and I'm walking back to the tent where my brother and the other guys are, when I got there, they said, "Oh, what happened?" I said, "Nothing. They couldn't catch me." It's amazing how you change your tune when you're out of danger. Can anybody identify with that? Maybe that's just me and Pharaoh, you know? But we do. When the trial is there, oh, God, anything, you know? But when the trial is gone, it seems like things go back to normal. And treat the Lord, for it is enough. We have Mark chapter 14. Jesus asked his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to pray. And he would go a little further, and he said, "Please pray for me." He's getting ready to go to the cross. "And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners." It's enough. The opportunity is gone to pray with me and to pray for me, because they fell asleep. So many opportunities we have to serve the Lord. So many illustrations on this too, but I do have to move on. Some say it's enough when they really mean it's not enough. Follow this. "It's enough, I want to die." And what they're really saying is, "I'm not satisfied with my life." Right? So my life isn't enough. "It's enough, I want to change." What they're really saying is, "I'm not content with the providence of God in my life." So we have to be careful about that. Sometimes we're all walled in, and maybe God does that, and we say, "God, where do you want a door?" You know, God opens doors and closes doors. So we don't make our own doors. Does that make sense? Years ago, I heard a message on chapter 19 from another preacher, And again, chapter 18, great victory, a lot accomplished for God. The whole nation turned back to God. But you have all of these lies that came on Elijah, and it changed everything about him. There was the lie of intimidation. Jezebel comes and says, I'm going to kill you. You killed my prophets. I'm going to kill you tomorrow. He was intimidated. He was fearful for his life, and he took off. She couldn't touch him, and she didn't touch him. And ultimately, in the end, she lost her life, and she went through a trial, and not Elijah. But that lie of intimidation, there was the lie of escape. He arose and went for his life. If I just get out of here, I'll be fine. But that wasn't true. A lie of hopelessness. He requested for himself that he might die. It's enough. Just take my life. The lie of loneliness. I only, I'm left alone. But there were 7,000 others. You know, I got to thinking about that. From that great victory and miracle, he believed four lies, and it changed his whole response. It changed his whole service for the Lord. But God knew how weak he was, and God knew the trial, so God came, and he fed him. Amen? Sometimes as a pastor, I get burdened, and all I need is cookies. That's all you got to do is make some cookies. And if you can't deliver them personally, have, I don't know, Uber bring him over or something. But, I mean, God ministered to him, did he not? What are you doing here, Elijah? Well, this and this. Well, here. And God blessed him. John 8:44, the devil, he's a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Here's the threat. Here's the trial. Here's the discouragement. Here it is. It's real. It's right there. And the devil comes along with all his lies. Every one of them. God's not enough. His grace isn't sufficient. What are you doing? Who are you doing this for? You're a loser. And all the things that he throws at you. Remember, the truth is in the Word of God. What does he think of us? He loves us. What does he think of us? We're valued to him. We're precious to him. Amen? He will guide us, help us, protect us. We have 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, perverse and corrupt, destitute of the truth, destitute, supposing that gain is godliness. Now you have, I mean, we ought to be able to get this. Perverse, corrupt, destitute, gain is godliness. That's the bottom line. Gain is godliness. From such turn away. Because the next verse says, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the answer. Amen? Philippians 4:11, Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Contentment turns it's enough into it's enough. Amen? It's enough. What I have is enough. Boy, God's been good to me. Has he been good to you? Amen. That's enough. That's contentment. Isaiah 56:11. Yea, they are greedy dogs. These were the spiritual leaders, which can never have enough. They all look to their own way, and everyone for his own gain. Somebody asked a very wealthy man one time in New York City, how much money is enough? And he said, just a little more. Man. Boy, bingo. Talk about hitting nails on the head, you know. Just a little more. Proverbs 3:14. For the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain of fine gold. You have Matthew 16:26. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? It's so great to be saved. If God never did another thing for us, we're going to live with him forever. Amen? That should bring some kind of contentment. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. What things Paul said before he was saved, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. We all know what that is. That I may win Christ. All these things, that's dung, that's worthless. I may win Christ. I may know Christ. I may have his wisdom. That's what mattered. That's where his contentment was. There's a song, And Can It Be? I don't know if you know that. We've sung it here. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Is that even possible? That I am forgiven of all my sins by just receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior? When I survey the wondrous cross, amen? There's a verse that says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. One other portion of scripture. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to the terminology here. Paul says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or contribute to or result in the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, here's the trial, here's the tribulation, here's all of the opposition, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the grace of God. For our light affliction, and we read his affliction, it was not light. But he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 80, you know, 70, is 70, and if by reason of strength you have 80, maybe you're 90, maybe it even goes to 100, but this life's going to be over. And we have an eternity to spend with the Lord. I like all of these verses, and I'll close shortly here. My cup runneth over. Psalm 23. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Amen. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Mercy and goodness follow me all the days of my life. I mean, what a great psalm. In the Psalms, he loadeth us with benefits. 2 Corinthians, his grace is sufficient. Ephesians, exceeding abundantly above all. Romans, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. All excess. In my Father's house, there's bread enough and to spare. There's plenty for everybody. Amen? And that's how God ministers to us and gives us enough and more than enough. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Every time I would quote this verse, Richard, Edna would look at me and, dear lady, and she would quote the verse with me. This was one of her favorite verses, if not the favorite verse that she had. But she'd be sitting over here, and I knew whenever I was quoting it, my eyes just went right to Edna, and her lips are just going like this, you know. And that way, if I couldn't remember the verse, I'd just read her lips. Amen? That's what I do with Richard. Amen? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. That is a powerful verse, and sometimes we just read through it, and it's so necessary, it's so helpful, if we could understand it. What's the way to escape? What are we escaping from? And what do we bear? We think, plan, and live in our circumstances. That's how we live life. Success or failure is gauged by most people by possessions, by ease and comfort, by all of those things. I'm a success. Look at the successful life that I have. If you go to Joshua chapter 1, success has to do with knowing and following the Word of God. But that's a different kind of success. Those things are all well and good, possessions, ease, comfort. But what is God talking about? Make a way to escape. What is he talking about? Something much more precious than that. Moses in the Bible You know the story of Moses and how he was brought up in Pharaoh's house and second highest in the land. You know, he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose not to have the riches of Egypt, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Without giving the whole story, he made a choice, and he esteemed that choice greater than all the riches in Egypt. And by doing that, he became the deliverer. And he ultimately brought the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Amen? They crossed the Red Sea. Amen? What a blessing. What a blessing that was. That's the other side of it is enough. The three Hebrew children, they were told to bow down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And they said, no, we're not allowed to do that. And so they were given another chance, and they were told if they didn't bow down, they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, which was heated seven times hotter, and the people that were just outside of it died. It was so hot. And they said, our God is able to deliver us from the furnace, but if not, boy, what a tremendous statement. God can do this, but if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down and worship your image. And so they threw him in the fire. And the Bible says, the king says, didn't we throw three in the fire? There's a fourth in there, and one is like unto the Son of God. Think of that testimony. Think of that. And they didn't know they were going to be delivered from that. Our God's able, but if not, it's okay because there's something more important than this. Well, it's enough. It's enough. No. What God gives is enough. His grace is enough. Paul and Silas, Philippians chapter 16. They're preaching, but the whole town got mad because they were silversmiths and they made all these idols, and people were burning their books and turning from idols, and so they threw them in prison and they beat them, and they're going to kill them the next morning. And at midnight there's a earthquake. Paul and Silas are singing at midnight. There's an earthquake. All the jail doors are open. Everybody could go free, but nobody leaves. The jailer comes in. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. He gets saved. A church is started there. Paul was a Roman. If you read chapter 16, all he had to say at the beginning of that trial was, hey, I'm a Roman. You can't do it. You can't touch me without a trial. I am a Roman citizen. But he waited because God said, I don't want you to tell him that. I don't want you to be delivered. I want you in the jail. I want you to pray. I want you to be a testimony to these other men in prison and jail. And when the earthquake comes, nobody's leaving because they all just got saved. Say, where do you get that? Read the chapter, you'll see. So at the end of the chapter, Paul says, when they said, oh, you can go, we're sorry. Paul said, I'm a Roman. And they said, uh-oh. You have to really study to get that. But they all said, uh-oh, you know, we are in trouble now. And then they entreated him to leave. It's just so many principles in the Word of God. Daniel, don't pray. He prayed, amen. They threw him in the lion's den, but boy, that was a blessing too. The other side of enough. A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. Well, since I've been saved, I just keep on growing. I keep getting better and better. Maybe God will deal with your lying, you know, because we do this. You know, we're not perfect. Nobody here is perfect. We deal with sin all the time. But we fall, but we rise again. Amen? And God is good. The greatest men in the Bible, Abraham, David, I mean, you can go down through the list. They all had a chink in their armor. They all had a weak link in the chain. Amen? And God was merciful. And I want to close with this. It is enough, Lord. Take my life. God didn't answer that. And at the end of that chapter, there's a man by the name of Elisha who's going to become the prophet. And Elisha does twice the miracles that Elijah did. Twice the miracles. Somebody's always watching. Remember last week? You're our epistle written in red of all men. Written in red of all men. where we're living Bibles, amen, our testimony for Jesus Christ, for Almighty God, for His holiness, for His honor, for His glory, for the salvation of those around us, deserve all glory to God, amen. It's enough, Lord. Not, it's enough, I want to die, but it's enough, You've been good to me. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And if we forget His goodness, that He's good to us every day, and we start thinking about all the problems, remember the lies of the devil, we'll get discouraged, and we won't think of His goodness that leads us to repentance. But repentance is a wonderful thing because it's turning back to the Lord as glorifying Him. Amen? Amen. The other side of it's enough. Let's bow our heads, please. What does He mean to you? Well, He hasn't taken care of me. Oh, yes, He has. He's been good to you. Remember, the devil's a liar, so whatever's popping in your mind that's not in the Scriptures, that's not of God, is a lie. There's truth and there's a lie. Don't let him, in this holy time right now, don't let him lie to you, because it'll change your direction too. But if you come to yourself and you see there's bread in my Father's house and despair, you make that journey back. Because He's so good. He's so good. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, if you have not received Christ, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if you receive Him, you have that witness in your heart. It's there. If you've never received Him, trust Him today. Ask Him to be your Savior. Say a prayer like, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me. Please be my Savior. He'll transform your life. He's such a good God. Father, bless all of us today with a mind that thinks about Your blessings, Your goodness, Your grace. May we, in this short time now before our service is over, may we just rehearse the blessings over and over and over. You're so good to us. May in this invitation time we think of our salvation, how You've used us in the past, how You're using us today. God, may we just praise You. For Your glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's